My guest at this time is Dan Caldwell. He is the issue and legislative campaign manager at Concerned Veterans of America. We want to get his reaction as the House Republican leader and House Democratic leader of the respective Veterans Affairs committees came forward today with bipartisan legislation that they say will go a long way towards resolving many of the horrific problems experienced through the Veterans Administration system. And Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there's a lot of different aspects to this. It carries about a $17 billion price tag, and Senator Sanders of Vermont says that that could end up getting quite a bit higher if that's what's necessary. Two things that conservatives seem to be excited about is the fact that the Secretary of Veterans Affairs will now have the power to fire bureaucrats that are found to be incompetent, although they will have the opportunity to appeal, and that veterans will have access to private care if they can't get an appointment within that first 14-day window. What's the biggest win here for you?
We think that the two principles you just described, particularly the expanded firing authority and the expanded access to private care, are the two most important reforms in this bill, and we feel that they will lay the groundwork for future VA reform and fundamentally transforming how the VA delivers care and benefits to our veterans.
What's the biggest one of the two? What's the most critical one?
We think the expanded access to private health care is the most important. We think that allowing veterans more health care choices will improve their overall well-being, will get veterans out of this failing single-payer health care system at the VA, and ultimately will reduce wait times. And in the long run, we think could lead to a more efficient and more specialized VA that can better serve veterans who have been wounded in combat, who have these injuries that require specialty treatment, and the VA can kind of move away from being a primary care provider. In the long run, this will be better not only for veterans, be better for the VA, and be better for the American taxpayer because it could ultimately cost less money.
So you see this ultimately as a replacement for the main current function of the VA?
That's kind of an interesting point you bring up. We've always thought that the main current function of the VA healthcare system should be to treat service-connected disabilities and provide health care for veterans who are disabled or injured as a result of their service. Now, we think that a lot of these healthcare services, particularly on the primary care front, could probably be better served within the private sector at like a family doctor or primary care physician. So we ultimately don't think that this is really a mission change from what VA's original intent was. We think this is a mission change from where the VA's mission has expanded in recent decades.
We've obviously seen in just the past few years, Dan, the budget for Veterans Affairs and particularly for healthcare grow quite a bit. Ultimately, as we learned earlier this year, that did not result in better results. So how do we make sure that what we're trying to accomplish here actually gets accomplished?
Well, it's going to require a lot of oversight from Congress, from veterans groups like ourselves, and Concerned Veterans for America is going to be keeping a close eye on the VA and a close eye on what Congress is doing in terms of appropriating money and passing reforms. It's going to require a lot of oversight and, frankly, a lot of new leadership at the VA, not just a new secretary. The new secretary coming in, which is likely to be Mr. McDonald, Robert McDonald, he's going to need to bring in a lot more of his own people from outside the VA, and then he's going to go and need to clear house. I've told people that he's probably going to have to fire thousands of managers throughout the VA. The rot at that institution is just so widespread. It is just so ingrained culturally within that institution that you're going to need to remove a lot of people from the VA and then, you know, fundamentally transform its culture. You know, even with the scandal breaking and unveiling how they've lied to Congress, lied to American people, lied to veterans, they still are doing it. They're still not being forthcoming with Congress. They're not being forthcoming with the media. They're not providing requested information. The VA Conference Committee, for example, they needed detailed accounting information from the VA to give the Congressional Budget Office. The VA gave them incomplete information. So it's going to require a lot of continued focus from, you know, not just Congress and Veterans Group, but the media as well, to really ensure that ultimately this organization is transformed in a manner that it can more efficiently and better provide care and benefits to our veterans.
Senator Sanders points out that he insisted upon a 21-day window for folks to appeal their firing or suspension by the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Do you expect this to be a fairly efficient process of removing people who aren't doing their jobs, or is this going to get gummed up through a lot of bureaucratic efforts of its own?
Well, it already is being gummed up pretty badly through bureaucratic efforts of its own. What you're seeing is often these employees, it could take up to 2 years to fire some of these. We're not talking about low-level employees. We're talking about senior managers. It should be very easy to remove those people from their position. I do not think the way it is currently written that it can be gummed up too much. I think it's very clear. It's very direct. When the secretary says you're fired, you're taken off the payroll, and you have 21 days to appeal. And that's that. I think that it will be hard to gum that up. Now, there are some government unions who are threatening to sue over this provision. I ultimately think that they will fail. I do expect it to be litigated, but I do hope and ultimately believe it will be upheld in court. And it is completely necessary. I'm sorry, but one of the biggest problems has been the inability to fire these bad managers. You know, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, where the scandal broke. Sharon Hellman, the hospital director that was responsible directly and indirectly for the deaths of up to 40 veterans as a result of manipulated waitlist. The process to fire her began the day Shinseki resigned. She's still on the payroll. The two other people that were started to be fired are still on the payroll. They've been receiving pay now for close to 2 months as employees of the VA. And they're going to drag it out as long as they can because they have the incentive to. And I think that this new accountability reform will remove that incentive to drag it out. So they ultimately move on and get out of the VA.
Just a couple of minutes left with Dan Caldwell of Concerned Veterans of America. Dan, from what you have seen of the legislation so far, is there anything that you believe absolutely needs to be in that's not or is in there that needs to go?
Well, we think some of the additional spending is unnecessary. The spending outside of the money needed to provide this outside care, we're happy to see some of it is offset. I think that's positive. But again, some of the things addressed in this package are not related to the access to care problems and the backlog problems. You know, the in-state tuition for post 9/11 GI Bill veterans, we don't think that should have been addressed in this bill. We think that some of the new money for leases we think is unnecessary and can be paid for internally with the VA. Not to mention that the veteran population continues to shrink, and you're likely to see fewer and fewer veterans using the VA in the next coming year. So rapidly expanding VA facilities, we don't think is a wise thing to do considering those facts. We are not comfortable with some of that spending. We wish it wasn't in there, but at the same time, we recognize that, look, there's a certain political environment in the Congress. And we also look at the two big reforms, which we think are revolutionary and are needed, as being the most important part of this compromise package.
Dan, very quick, if the current bill, and I don't even know if it's actually been formally written yet, but if the bill as it's been outlined so far is the one that goes before lawmakers, does your organization endorse an up or down vote?
Well, it's going to be a conference report, so the conference committee first needs to sign off on it, and then it will go to the House and Senate. We do think that the principles in the bill are important, and we'd like to see them signed into law. However, we are very concerned about the spending, and we're going to keep a very close eye on Congress to see, one, that it is offset, and two, that it is controlled, and the VA is not given another blank check. It obviously, just like any piece of legislation, it deserves an up-and-down vote. Based on how conference reports work, I do believe it is going to get that. That's likely what you're going to expect, and we do expect it to pass here probably before the end of the week.
And we'll certainly be following. Dan, thanks for helping us understand it better.
You're welcome.
Dan Caldwell is the issue and legislative campaign manager at Concerned Veterans of America. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.